Hey friends, over 60% of you are listening to me right now on an Apple product. iPhone, iPad, iTunes. I need your help. The truth is, Apple will make this podcast more discoverable to new listeners the more reviews it has. So I'm here asking you to take a moment and leave a review. If you've gained any value from this podcast, the greatest thing you can do for it, besides spreading the word and telling friends, is leaving a review. It's real simple. If you're on your phone, head over to my podcast page within the Apple Podcast app and leave a review. Or if you're on a computer, you can head over to my podcast page within the iTunes app. That's it. That's all I ask. And if you have other podcasts that you love, do them a favor and do the same for them. It'll make their day. Now let's get this podcast started already. This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast, episode number one. If you're here for the Conrad Thompson interview, that will be our guest today. You probably saw that on the header in the on the website, or you know, on the on your phone. It just says, you know, episode one featuring Conrad Thompson. So he's our guest. Something to wrestle with. So if you're here for that, we'll get to that interview shortly. This is just kind of like we're kind of almost making this thing up as we go along. I'm not new to the podcast game, but I'm almost treating it like I'm new to it again, because this is not the show that I used to do. It's going to be somewhat different than the show I used to do. You know, trying to figure out the format. There'll probably be an intro, and then if there's a guest, we'll get to the guest. If there's no guest, you know, we'll talk about other stuff. And that's kind of the way that the podcast will go, ultimately. I stopped podcasting almost 2 years ago. And it was kind of like this thing in my life where things really got busy. And the people that I was podcasting with just kind of just rolled out. You know, never heard from these people again. And that's kind of the thing when you're co-hosting with people that you cannot see face to face, that you don't know in your real life. When I got new podcasting equipment, I deliberately went out and got a portable recorder so that most of my podcasts will be with people that are sitting right in front of me. I made an exception with Conrad because I'm just so into his shows with Bruce Pritchard and Tony Schiavone that I made the exception, because I was like, I got to talk to this guy. I did offer to do the show in Baltimore in person, but these guys are going to be so busy, and I get it. I totally understand. So version 2.0, flipping the switch, starting a fresh start. I kind of hit this point in my life where, you know, things were getting pretty busy. I had a wedding around the corner, and things were changing pretty rapidly for me in life. And I would go through the next year. So 2015 was the last podcast I did up until about a week ago. And 2016 really wasn't too much different in my life. It was just minus the podcasting, because I kind of got burned out on it. And I decided that, you know, I was going to do other things with my time. I reconnected with my cousin Larry. We started playing some music, and we did that for a few months. And that was a lot of fun. And then life kind of got busy again, and you kind of see a pattern. You know, things come up, and you got to figure out, you got to kind of pick your spots and figure out time to do things. But version 2.0 to me is like changing the way I think. And a lot of that goes into my fitness goals and just how I approach life in general. You know, not stressing out so much about the stuff that's just out of my control. And I challenge everybody listening to this show, you know, stop for a moment and think about everything you got going on. And if you're like the person I used to be, where you overthink everything and you're worried about everything, you just got to stop, you know, take a deep breath and just realize, man, it just, you know, if it's out of your control, there's nothing you can do. You just kind of got to take it as you can and just keep going. And it's like my weight was getting out of control. You know, I'm in some debt. And I was just like, I can only worry about what I can control. I can't worry about the stuff I can't control. So, you know, I can make payments on the debt. I can go to the gym and start losing weight and figure it out. As far as everything else, what people think of me or whatever, all that stuff doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. I just got to be the best me for my wife and my family and my dog who's sitting next to me sleeping. And that's all I've got to worry about. So the folks out there, you know, that you guys that are listening, maybe you think about what's your version 2.0 look like. I could tell you what mine looks like. I'm 60 pounds lighter since January 1, 2017, which is pretty insane when I think about it. Cause it's like, I don't know how the hell I did it. If you told me 2 years ago when I was still podcasting and we were doing live radio and I'm sitting here chugging beer like a maniac and eating all kinds of stuff just for a good story, that I would be suddenly weight conscious going to the gym, I would have told you you were out of your mind. Seriously, I would have. And I really didn't change all that much when it came to it. And I'll get more in depth about this stuff in future episodes because I want to get to the guest of the show. But I just realized that, you know, if I made just a couple of changes, just a few things, the way I prioritize things and add some gym time in there, that things can change before I realize it. And it's still a continual thing. The journey goes on. So I guess I would tell everybody out there listening, and I know it sounds like I'm just out there and crazy. You know, if you don't know who I am, and a lot of you, this is your first introduction to me, you're like, this guy is out of his mind. And that's fine. That's cool. But I hope that people that tune into this podcast and don't know who I am, maybe you stick around for a little bit and, you know, see how you feel about it. Because I think we can have a good time. I have a feeling going to have a good time with Conrad Thompson, talking to him about his podcast. So maybe we should get him on and talk about his podcasts. All right, it's time for the guest on the podcast. And when I'm thinking of the first guest to get on my very first podcast, my brand new podcast, the first guy that comes to mind, because I've been out of the podcast game for about 2 or so years. And when I come back and when I look at the podcast landscape, one of the guys at the very top of the mountain here, you got Conrad Thompson joining us on the show. Conrad, welcome, sir.
Hey, man, I appreciate the opportunity to come on. I don't know what I'm on top of, but I'm glad.
Well, look, it's like this. You know, you guys, you and Bruce and you and Tony are doing something really special here. I came back and, you know, before I left, the podcast game in terms of wrestling specific, because that's where your arena is, it was very much kind of becoming a very oversaturated market. And I think it still kind of is, but you got a lot of wrestlers in there now and they're doing really good podcasts. So it's kind of weeding out, let's say, maybe the less stellar fan-created podcasts. And not to, you know, disparage them in any way, but it's more or less, it's like there was just so many at a time. When I got into it, it's like 2007. You maybe had probably 20 or less podcasts at that time. And when I come back and I see, you know, Stone Cold's got a podcast, Chris Jericho's got a podcast, and there's a lot of podcasts out there. But what you and Bruce are doing and what you and Tony are doing, I was talking with Court Bauer
outside of your show in Orlando after it was over. And I said, you know, Something to Wrestle really reminds me of, it's like the wrestling podcast version of Serial, where the only difference is that you get a payoff in about 2 or 3 hours as opposed to waiting 10 episodes or 12 episodes or however long that show was. And it's really in depth. I mean, you do a ton of research for these shows and it's very compelling. And a lot of people have gravitated to these shows that you're creating with Bruce and Tony. And so when I say you're sitting at the top of the mountain here, I mean, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I mean, you guys are doing something really special to the point of where I'm going to Orlando to see your live show. And you got 300 people, and they know every single inside reference of your show. I mean, that's incredible.
It really is, man. It's pretty humbling. You know, I'm just a regular mortgage guy from Alabama. No broadcast experience, never been in the business, never taken a bump. And Bruce, you know, was really over as a television character 30-some-odd years ago. But we both kind of been overwhelmed with the response and very humbled by it. So we feel like it's our duty at this point to try to put in the work and put in the effort to continue to put out a product that people are into. And that formula seems to be working for both Bruce and Tony.
I think it's paying off tremendously for you guys. This is not your first podcast venture, though. You did work with Ric Flair. And I know you guys are friends and everything. What was it like to work with a guy that you grew up watching?
A dream come true. You know, it was total accident. He got an offer to do a podcast from CBS. Wasn't really sure what that meant. Asked me if I wouldn't mind coming to sit in with him for his very first one and just kind of ask fan questions. I jumped at the chance to do so. And it was one heck of a ride. We got to interview a who's who of professional wrestling, whether it was Stone Cold or Hulk Hogan or Dana White or Eric Bischoff or Mick Foley or Bret Hart, on and on and on. It really was kind of a who's who of wrestling, and we even got a Crockett. So it was a very humbling experience to be able to make the acquaintance of all these guys and kind of pick their brains and talk a little wrestling.
Now, had you and Rick known each other for a while before the podcast, or were you guys kind of figuring out your chemistry as you were going?
No, we had been buddies for a couple of years prior to that. He and I met not too long after his son passed away in 2013. Mm-hmm. He had relocated from North Carolina to Georgia. I live here in Alabama. And we were just kind of within close proximity to one another. So we just started hanging out more often to watch sports or, you know, just have a guy's night. And one thing leads to another, and he had an opportunity to do the podcast that he knew from, you know, spending time at my home that I do radio every morning to promote my mortgage company. So that's not to say that I have a radio show, but it is to say that I would join a morning radio show every morning, a few of them, and kind of talk about whatever the news of the day was and try to be topical and funny and then somehow transition into a mortgage commercial. And so when he knew that and he knew the respect I had for him and the business, he felt like it was a make sense situation for me to be the fan asking him questions.
Just as a quick sidebar, you mentioned, you know, getting to the commercials. One compliment I will throw out there, and I don't know how often you get this, so if it sounds like a broken record, I apologize, but you guys do your ads so well on the podcast. Like, you know, a lot of people, they listen to these various podcasts, and you got to have your ads in there, you know, a bunch of times in the podcast. And a lot of people say, oh, I'll just skip these ads. I never skip your ads. Honest to God, you guys just have such a unique way of delivering it that, I mean, it makes it entertaining every time. It's like you're getting a different ad. I mean, you guys are reading some of the same stuff week after week, but it's like it's interesting to hear how you'll do it.
I appreciate you saying that. I take great pride in that. You know, I've made my living in sales and also, you know, from marketing. And I know as an advertiser, because I advertise my mortgage company, what's going to work and what's not going to work and what I would want someone to do for me. And just to do an ad and just to do a read, it's to me the bare minimum. So to just have a host just read word for word the bullet points that were provided to him, that to me is not good enough. You know, it's the bare minimum. If you really want to show your appreciation and build a long-term relationship, you should try to find a way to make it engaging or funny or interesting or put a cool music bed under it or do a fun voice or have a slick transition or whatever, and make it authentic. And that has worked, and we continue to have advertisers sign up for the show, and hopefully our listeners are supporting them, because you're not doing the show, our show or any show, a service by downloading the show but always skipping the ad. The only reason you have the ability to download those shows every week is because those advertisers are supporting the show. And if you don't support those advertisers, eventually the show goes away. And I feel like that's kind of short-sighted for a lot of people to say, oh, I just skip them. Okay, cool. Because one day they'll just skip taping the show. Not to be on my soapbox, but it seems to be a theme. People say, oh, I just want to skip the ads. Well, I get that. Do you want another show? Yes. How about listen? Maybe buy something. So many of our sponsors are offering something for free. And there's nothing wrong with you trying something for free. And if you don't like it, cancel. Don't continue to get the service. Don't come out of pocket. We're not encouraging you to, you know, go buy a new car.
Yeah.
Or to sign up for free food or a $5 subscription for razors. You don't like the razors? Cancel. The food doesn't taste good. Cancel. It's free. Why wouldn't you do that?
It makes complete sense. But, you know, some people, they're wrestling fans. I don't want to put them all in the same pool here, but a lot of them can be fickle and they get very particular with what they like and what they don't like, and things that they don't like, they'll make sure that you know about it. I mean, I can only imagine that while you have, let's say, a ton of people that really like what you do, you probably also get a ton of people in your Twitter and probably DMs and things like that that probably don't care for you and probably want to let you know every second they have a chance.
No, that's totally true, and I'm actually supportive of that. I really want, you know, the criticism and the critiques, because I want the show to be as close to perfect as it can be, and I realize you can't please everybody, but I actively seek that feedback and want to give the people what they want. If I didn't, then we would go with what the podcast experts say. We'd keep our shows to 50 minutes or less.
Right.
And we'd go with what the podcast experts say, and we would, you know, put a bunch of shows in the can, but we're not doing that. We're not even picking our topics. We're letting the audience do it. So we've put them in the driver's seat in every avenue. However, if you really enjoy anything, you should support the people who are providing it. And if you can't do that or don't want to do that, then you can't be upset if it goes away one day.
No, that's very true. And one, you know, I scoured the internet looking up about you, because I listen to your podcast every week, but I wanted to kind of read all that I could. And you know, Reddit, you know, that's a popular place. They like to discuss your show. One compliment of you that I did find that I read that I thought was so out there, I wanted to share with you. Somebody said that your voice was sweet and thick like syrup.
Yeah, I've heard lots of compliments about, and a lot of detractors about my voice.
Right.
Just because I'm from the South, and I'm sure that if you live in another part of the country, then I talk funny. Well, if you think that, I probably think that you talk funny. but I get that, you know, some people are into that, so roll tide on that. But I don't have a choice. This is kind of what my voice sounds like, so whether we like it or we don't, we got to deal with it if you want the show.
Yeah, that, and you probably don't want to do like you probably don't want to make up a voice for 2.5 to 3 hours that you have to talk, because that, after a while, it's not going to be very comfortable on your throat. So, but you know, I think this, Conrad, I think, you know, no matter whether people love you or hate you, I think it's a sign that if you're getting a lot of love and a lot of hate, I think it's a sign of, you know, to use a wrestling term, I think it means you guys are over. You know, I think you guys are onto something, and that's why you get, you know, all the love and the negativity, because there's always, you know, in everything in life, it's 50-50. You know, a lot of people love one thing and they hate another, and that's just kind of the way it goes, I think.
No, I don't disagree. You know, it's one of those things where I can't help who loves or hates, but I can, you know, help what I can control, and that's the effort I put into the show, and I'm going to continue to work hard at it and continue to try to improve, and hopefully word of mouth will spread. More people will like it than they and the numbers will continue to grow as they have thus far.
Well, to take a page out of your book, roll tide to that, sir. One place that does seem to like your podcast a lot, the Academy of Podcasters, I just read this, I think it was last night, have nominated you guys for Sports Podcast of the Year. What do you think about that? How cool is that?
Well, that's a great honor, man. It's not something I expected. They don't give you any sort of heads up. You just get an email, and then, boom, you're on the site. So I'm not exactly sure what the criteria was, but that a wrestling podcast would be included in a sports category is an incredible honor and a great compliment. And we're very thankful and appreciative, especially when you consider that the lion's share of the podcasts that are listed in our category, in fact, I think all but ours, involve a significant staff and a budget and a professional studio. You know, a lot of those are ESPN productions. So they're taping it in a radio studio, and they have engineers and board ops and research staff, and, you know, they have contracts. You know, Bruce and I are doing this in a pool house in a room off my garage with Skype and Audition, and we're the sound engineers, and we're the board ops, and we're our research staff, and we're our sales staff. And so it is very much a grassroots effort. And to be included with some of those, you know, major podcasts is a great honor, you know, regardless of whether or not we win, just to be nominated and in that same air as them is a great honor.
Definitely. And if I could get nerdy for a moment, I know there's a lot of nerds that listen to podcasts in general. What kind of setup do you have over there at the Conradison? Because your audio quality is pretty good, man.
I appreciate that. I bought a couple of headsets, I guess three, when I was taping them with Rick, because when we tried to do just handheld mics, Shure mics, Rick would not keep the mic in front of his face. He'd kind of move around, and so we would lose the sound quality. So I bought headsets, so no matter where he went, I picked it up. So I still use a headset. Bruce has a really nice mic on his end. Both of those are, you know, pieces you can pick up from Amazon, though. And then I've got just a regular board that you'd find at A.B. Stevens or, you know, Guitar Center or Best Buy or Amazon for a few $100. And then we've got a couple of microphone processors that I picked up on Amazon, and we tape using Skype and Adobe Audition. I use Adobe Audition to record, and we just use regular Skype on my end and Skype on his end. And we're doing the video version so we can kind of see each other to give each other verbal clues like, hey, I want to talk next or keep going or wrap it up or whatever.
Yeah.
And then when it's all done, we run it through a program called Levelator just to make sure that it sounds as good as it can in headphones. And all of that stuff can be, you know, picked up and sourced pretty cheaply.
Yeah, I can definitely identify with, you know, dumping some money into some stuff. I previously, in my older podcast, I used a full board, and I had a couple of different computers, and there was Skype involved because I had co-hosts who were in other states similar to your situation. And then I just, you know, when I decided to come back, I decided to go with a more portable thing because I hated being tied to a desk. It's kind of, I don't know if you ever get antsy once in a while to get the hell up out of the chair and move around as you talk. This is one of the things I have, and a portable setup in my particular case works out pretty good. But see, you got a whole, you know, little podcast radio setup over there at the Conradison.
Yeah, it's just a desk. It's a built-in desk with a couple of chairs, a couch, and some soundproofing on the walls, and some wrestling memorabilia on the shelves, and we're good to go. And Bruce has a similar setup at his house. He's using an iMac, and he's got a tiny little board, just a PC board, which is probably a couple $100, hooked up to a microphone, and it's in his pool house in his backyard. So it's not the big budget major operation that a lot of people may assume.
When you look at podcasts like Joe Rogan's, for instance, has it ever been attractive to you to consider a video element for your show?
Yes and no. You know, I'm not sure that it is easily digestible for everyone.
Right.
Some of our people just like to listen while they're at work or while they're driving or while they're running or whatever it may be. I'm not saying that it'll never happen, but it probably won't happen in its current incarnation.
Right, right. How do you guys land with the MLW? They have a great podcast network. How did you guys land with them versus, you know, kind of doing it on your own?
Court reached out to me when he heard a rumor that I was going to be bringing back the Ric Flair show and going independent.
Right.
Previously with CBS for Woo Nation. And his offer was the most attractive of anyone because he really wanted Rick on as kind of a lost leader to bring attention to the rest of the network.
Sure.
But when I realized how easy and laid back Court was to deal with, once I realized, hey, Bruce should have a podcast, I decided to just double down on that and push Bruce to do a podcast. And when he finally agreed, I sent one text to Court, and based on the success of Rick's show, he said, hey, yeah, let's make it happen. So we traded a couple of emails, and there it was. And kind of the same thing, I hit Court up and said, hey, I've got a new show I want to debut on Monday with Tony Schiavone. It's a WCW version of sorts of what we're doing with Bruce.
Yeah.
He said, hell yeah, let's put a promo out today. So we taped the promo that day, taped the show over the weekend, and we were up and rolling on Monday.
That's awesome. Is there ever any concern about giving so much away for free? And I mean this in the sense that, like, before your podcast came along with Bruce and Tony, you know, shoot interviews, very prevalent, you know, places like RF Video and High Spots. They have a whole business on selling DVDs of shoot interviews. And essentially, I mean, you guys are doing like a shoot interview. The name escapes me, like Kayfabe Commentaries. I think they have like these timeline videos.
That's right.
You guys are essentially doing that, and you guys are giving away so much content. And don't get me wrong, I love that it's free and easily accessible, and I would pay for some incarnation of it, but is there ever any concern with just how much content you guys are putting out there under a free banner?
No, there's not, at least from my perspective. I don't feel like it's one of those situations where anymore you know, charge money and then you give the content. I think now it's you give the content, then you charge money. I think we have developed a big enough fan base and piqued enough interest to where if we did want to roll out a pay model for additional content, we would have a much bigger financial windfall than if we hadn't given everybody a sample of what it was like. So first, you know, to use a drug dealer analogy, you get them hooked and then you sell them more. So the first taste is free. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily our plan, but I do believe that there is a pay model opportunity out there that just builds off of what we're already doing. So poll winners will continue to be the topic every week.
Right.
And poll losers, whatever, you know, gets blown out, we could cover that on a paid show. And a lot of people may say, well, why would you want to hear the poll losers? Well, because sometimes the best topics don't ever win. Houston Wrestling was one of our best reviewed shows ever. TNA did our absolute best download number ever. Both of those were multiple time poll losers.
Right.
So sometimes the stuff, the content that we know is outstanding doesn't win because people just don't understand it. And the poll, as fun as it is and as interactive as it is not really always the best indicator for what the best show would be. It's just a popularity contest.
Yeah, ultimately, I mean, there's been many times where I've looked at that poll and there's at least two, because everybody's got different tastes. You know, you've got the people that like the 80s or early 90s stuff. Then you got your Attitude Era people, and then you got your 2000s and on people. You know, like there's been many times where I've seen a couple on there, like my particular, you know, growing up late 80s, early 90s, you know, when you guys throw up something like Beware of Dog, which eventually won, I'm sitting there like, man, I remember sitting at home in my pajamas and this pay-per-view goes off the air and I'm like, what the hell happened? I would love to know what happened when the lights went out in South Carolina and it finally wins. And then I pop huge because I'm just like, man, this is something I'm really into. So I get it, you know, with sometimes the losers, because that lost what, at least twice, I think Beware of Dog did.
Yeah, a lot of the shows that wound up being really good shows didn't win the first time out. And that's not to say that it would be a bad show or that it's gone forever. But I do feel like sometimes the stories would never be told if we're just totally reliant on a poll. So I'm almost like, hey, one day there's a pay model opportunity here for poll losers or multiple time poll losers where we offer additional content for a nominal fee. And if you're into it, get it. And if you're not, that's okay too. But that would be an additional way to support the show with no ads, by the way.
Right.
For a tiny fee.
And to that point about, you know, rolling out a pay model, I mean, you guys are kind of already experimenting with that a little bit in the sense of the live shows. And without getting into specifics, what has the feedback been so far as, you know, sales for these events? Are you guys seeing some good turnouts here?
Yeah, you know, we sold out Orlando very quickly. We learned a lot from Orlando, though. We booked a venue that was too small. It was our first time out. We didn't have the proper setup, and that's on us. I wish we had that one to do over again, but
that was a great show, man. I was there.
Those who could see and hear had a great time, but there were a handful of people who couldn't see or hear, and that's on us. We should have done a bigger inspection on the front end of the building to make sure that it was equipped for that number of seats or that number of patrons, and if it wasn't,
right,
then maybe we should have not done it or done it somewhere else. But those who could see and hear thought it was a great show and had a great time, and we're going to continue that. We're at a little bit of a disadvantage for our Baltimore show because we announced it 3 weeks out.
Right.
We've been announcing everything else 3-4 months out, but we've still had really, really strong ticket sales to the point that everyone in Baltimore is blown away. So while Bruce and I are like, man, we're used to being sold out a month out. Well, we didn't even have tickets on sale a month out, so it's a little different here, but ticket sales continue to be strong. We've already done really, really well in St. Louis. It'll be an all-time attendance record for us in St. Louis. We're hoping to break that in Philadelphia in July. We've already sold the first New York show out completely, and the second New York show shouldn't be that far behind. New York is one of our strongest markets. So ticket sales are going really well. The biggest shock to me market-wise has been Boston. That show's not until December, and it's almost sold out.
Wow.
It's one of our venues.
That's incredible. I remember the Orlando show, and I think it was the very next morning you guys announced the first New York date you would go on. For people that don't know, you would go on to add a second show. But I remember I was in Orlando, and my buddy wakes me up. He's like, dude, they just announced that tickets are going on sale for New York. I'm like, get them. We got to get them. And it was just that you see the Orlando show, and this was a crazy crowd. I mean, you know, is that like a bar? People are probably having, you know, several drinks, but this crowd was like rabid. They were insane, and they were into everything you guys did. Just to put that in perspective a little bit, you guys had this thing where somebody gave you guys Jack Daniels. There was like two shots, and you go to pour, I guess, Bruce's shot into your shot or your shot into Bruce's. I don't remember which way it went, but he didn't want to drink it. He was kind of no selling it. And then you ask somebody, you know, is there anybody that's going to drink that? And I immediately, like a crazy person, put my hand up. And I get up there and I drink this Jack Daniels, and these people, I got 300 people roughly screaming, please don't die at me. And that was crazy. This crowd was insane. It was like unlike anything I've seen as far as a live show is concerned.
Well, you didn't just drink it. You gargled it like Kurt Hennig used to. So you're a man's man, my friend.
I think you said I looked like Action Bronson, if I remember correctly.
There you go. Look at you.
I hear that all the time, and I've never seen this guy's work. Explain Action Bronson to me.
He's a hip-hop head from New York who is also a big sneaker guy, and he's got a YouTube series or some sort of online video series called Fuck That's Delicious,
right,
where he just goes around to different parts of the world and does a little bit of a cooking show or just a foodie-type expose. And he's been very well received in that community and made a name for himself. And he's also a really big wrestling fan who's at a lot of WWE events in New York.
Man, you guys have got to reach out to that guy. Instead of having my jobber ass on the stage, you need to get that guy and see if he'll chug some Jack and gargle some Jack for you.
Well, I don't know that he has a sweet WrestleMania 4 hat, so I think he might.
Yeah, I found that thing on eBay. I think I paid around $50 for it, and I was just like, I have to have this. It's incredible. It's a conversation starter. Like, I went to Access with it in Dallas, and a lot of people would start a conversation about it because, number one, it's vintage, and number two, it's got Trump's name on it, very polarizing character in our country today, and it was a conversation starter. So now I wear it to every WrestleMania that I attend, which I try to go every single year.
Well, I hope to see you next year. We've already got a building picked out. I probably shouldn't announce where it is yet, but we will be in New Orleans.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's I don't know if I'll stay for the whole weekend, but just to go to Wally Mania and your show, I know that those two shows will be worth it in itself, because those, for me, and again, I don't want this to come across like I'm trying to kiss your ass or blow smoke up your ass, but honest to God, those two shows were some of the best time, other than Progress Wrestling, which is like an indie show. those were like the best shows I went to the entire week, and I had so much fun at those shows.
No, I appreciate you saying that, man. It means a lot, and we're working hard to, you know, keep bringing that fun spirit to all of our shows, and we've got some fun surprises for each individual show this year.
Definitely. Just a few more here. I know we got a couple of more minutes left. Do you and Bruce ever get heated off the air? I'm thinking of WrestleMania 9 show in my head, and I'm like, man, were you guys just ready to cuss each other out after this show is done? Because you guys seem to get really heated, especially on that show.
No, we do. It's not often that we do, but we do. It's usually about the podcast or about wrestling. It's never about real life stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, he thinks that I'm a know-it-all, and I think that he makes shit up. So, there you go.
Yeah, you guys do kind of get pretty heated at times. I mean, it seems like, you know, if you feel that he is, you know, giving you a bunch of BS, you're up there in his face poking him in the chest like, hey, buddy, you know, I don't think you're giving me the whole story here. And it makes for quite an interesting and at sometimes almost uncomfortable dynamic.
Well, that's the goal, is to kind of bring you in and let you be involved in what we're doing, whether it's, you know, comfortable or not, or good or bad or whatever. And when we're not getting along, you're going to know about it.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's compelling. Final two questions here. So as you go back and you're covering all these older shows, and you've been a fan for such a long time, what's one thing that you really like about the modern era, and what's one thing that you cannot stand about the modern era of wrestling?
I like the access that we have as fans in the modern era, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the podcasts and the network and social media, that's definitely the highlight. As far as, you know, what I can't stand, I think it's, you know, the way fans try to criticize every little thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just need to let the story play out and then decide.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I think a lot of people, you know, and I think a lot of it is because of the social media world we live in. It's both good and bad, because I feel like a lot of people, they want to have that clever, witty post, you know, I'm canceling the network and I want to start a hashtag trend. And then a month later, they're tweeting the same stuff. And it's like, well, I thought you stopped watching. Oh, well, I didn't really stop watching. I just kept going. You know, I think the social media has its pros and cons with wrestling fans.
No, I would agree.
Definitely. Final one here. Have you made more friends or enemies in the wrestling business since getting into the podcasting, given the nature of the things that get discussed on the show?
Only friends. No enemies.
That's good. That's good. Well, Conrad, I want to thank you so much for your time today. It's been good to kind of pick your brain about the podcasting world and even the tech stuff, which I'm really into as well. I really appreciate your time and being the first guest on my podcast.
Hey, man, I appreciate the opportunity to come on and talk a little wrestling with you.
Definitely. Where can people find you and your podcast?
MLWradio.com, Fridays at noon for Bruce, and 6 a.m. on your ride in for Tony Schiavone. MLWradio.com, and I'm on Twitter at Hey, it's Conrad.
Conrad, this was awesome, man. Thank you so much for the time. I really appreciate it.
Hey, man, thanks a lot for having me on. I appreciate you.
Wow, what an interview with Conrad Thompson. Again, I appreciate the man's time. He's doing mortgages, he's doing podcasting, and for him to take some time to come out and be the first guest on my podcast, that's awesome. I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to seeing Conrad in Baltimore and in New York. I think it's going to be awesome. So I want to thank you guys for tuning in to the very first Gary Cantrell podcast. Like I said, we're making this stuff up as we go along. Honestly, we're going to find the format that works. And that's up to you guys as far as feedback. You got to let me know, man. What do you like? What don't you like? I want to take in all your feedback and gauge what I'm hearing the most about and go from there. So there's a couple ways you could do that. You can reach out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Gary's Podcast. You can go to garyspodcast.com and leave a comment on the episode page. Or you can email me, garyspodcast@gmail.com. And I want to hear what you guys think about the show. This is me. This is what I'm about in 2017. I can't sweat the small stuff. So I'm coming on and doing this podcast to share what's going on in my life, because I feel like there are people that are interested. I've had people tell me, they say, man, you know, you really should do a podcast again. Why aren't you doing a podcast? You know, just get on and talk about whatever. Just want to hear you podcast. Well, here I am. I'm back doing the podcast just under a different banner. It's not The Shoot. It's not Wrestling Informant Radio. It's the Gary Cantrell Podcast. Because in order to give you the most authentic me, it's got to be my show. I control my own destiny with this show. So it's got to be up to me to deliver the best show and give you what I'm about. And there are people who are going to like it. There's people who are not going to like it. I hope you guys stick around, though, honestly. And look, as far as ads are concerned, I posted a little thing on my website today, garyspodcast.com, about this. But we're not going to pepper the show with a ton of ads. I'm never going to promise you that there will never be any ads on the show, because I think that if this show gains some traction and gets popular, that in fact, you know, they're maybe going to want to be potential advertisers. And at which point, yes, we will introduce some ads. But until that time, to keep it extremely minimum, there's one easy way that you can help out the show. And it's something that you're already doing in life right now: shopping at Amazon. I have an affiliate account with Amazon, and this is full transparency. I have an affiliate account with Amazon. And basically what happens is I give you a link, which in this case is garyspodcast.com/Amazon. And that'll just, it basically redirects you under my affiliate code to Amazon's homepage. And when you buy stuff, I get a couple of pennies for it. And if you do it enough, or if you buy enough stuff, I can make a couple bucks off of it. And my goal is not to overdo the ads, but I would like to, at some point, at least break even on the podcast. That's one thing I've never been able to do in any of my podcasts, is break even. It's always been operating at a loss. And I'm okay with it in the sense of I love to podcast. I'm into podcasting. But to be completely honest with you, it's not free. It's not cheap. So you don't have to, but if you could, just go to garyspodcast.com/Amazon and buy stuff that you're already going to buy on Amazon. It's not like I'm selling t-shirts or whatever, you know, and saying buy my shirts or buy my whatever. I'm just saying, hey, go to Amazon, which you already go to anyway. And to make it even easier, if you go to garyspodcast.com, I put a link right there. If you just click the link, you don't even have to type in the full address. You just go to my website and there's a link right at the top that says shop on Amazon. And I realize this is like the most unsmoothest way to promote my Amazon link, but honestly, that's all I ask. I mean, that's fine. If you could do that, that would be awesome. If not, it's cool. But as far as the format's concerned, we're going to figure it out. We're going to fine tune it, tweak it, and figure out what works. But I'm cutting on the mic and I'm talking. That's what I want to do. And we're even going to have people in here that you don't know, you know, friends of mine. I want to bring friends. If you are like a Facebook friend of mine and you think you've got some, and I've got a couple of you in mind already, but if you think you got like an interesting story to share, or if you think you'd be interesting content for the podcast, and this is, I'm talking about people that can meet up like anywhere. I could take this podcasting equipment anywhere. We could sit down at your couch in your home. We could sit down at the mall in the food court on a table and do a podcast. We can do it any way, shape, or form, but I got a couple of you in mind already, and I want to talk to some of you. But I would love to talk with, you know, with friends, family. You know, if you got some cool stuff to share, if you think we talk well together, let's do a podcast and share stories. Again, this podcast, I don't want you to get it twisted. This is not a podcast where I'm reading the news or anything like that. I'm talking about my life. I'm putting my life on tape, virtual tape. So those that find it interesting will understand it and get it. And those that don't won't, and they won't listen, and that's okay. I'm good with that. And from time to time, I'll bring on interesting people who will drive in extra plays. And more of you will hear the show. And hopefully more of you will like it. So I don't know exactly what day I'll be doing the podcast. Originally, Conrad and I were going to talk last night, but he got busy. And so we had to talk today. I'm still going to release the podcast today, but I'm almost wondering if recording over the weekend or on Tuesday and then releasing it Wednesday. That's kind of what I'm thinking. What's your guys' take? You know, new podcast. When do you want to tune into a new podcast? I mean, I guess it really doesn't matter because you can listen anytime. I don't have any plans to take the show live or anything like that. You know, I'm done with live radio, I think. I'm pretty confident to say I'm done with live radio. Because unless you're a big name, like, you're not going to get a ton of people to listen live. I mean, you can get some people, 30, 40 people. You know, I've had that many live. Historically, every radio show I've ever done, the most success it's seen is downloaded at a later time, at your leisure, at your convenience. And I'm good with that. So I'm thinking I show up around once a week, sometimes once every other week, and just drop a podcast on your phone, on your tablet, and you can listen to it when you want to listen to it. And hopefully you find it interesting. But I will be sharing a lot about my fitness journey, because that's one of the motivating factors for getting back into podcasting, was sharing my story with people, because I think there's a lot of people that are stubborn like me. I'm pointing at myself when I'm saying that. I'm not trying to disparage other people who are listening. I think there's a lot of stubborn people like me who think that losing weight is unattainable. We're so conditioned in this current world on social media. We get these ads, these magical shakes, these stupid vibrating belts that jiggle your belly, that if you sit down and watch TV and you're not active, will help you lose weight. These Slim Fast and Atkins and all this stuff. And I'm not saying that some of this stuff doesn't work, but I feel like a lot of it is a gimmick. And honestly, if you just watch what you eat and find things that you modify, stuff that you already like, and you modify either the portion size, I think that you can see the similar results. Because honestly, that's all I've done. That's all I've done. I've not, you know, I used to have people telling me, oh God, you got to eat all these vegetables. You got to do X, Y, and Z. You got to eat X, Y, and Z, or you're never going to lose weight. Well, guess what? This picky, stubborn son of a gun found food that he likes, modified the portions, got on the treadmill. I walk 4 miles 3 times a week, and one day I do weightlifting, and I've lost 60 pounds already. And I'm going to find out how well this thing works. And I've always said that, you know, I will modify the diet when it stops working. I'll modify my workouts when it stops working. But as long as it's working, I'm going to keep on going. And I'm not going to stop until I hit 185. That's the number, by the way. Started at 372. Okay. 185 is the number. I don't remember any time in my high school days or even before that being like under 200 pounds. And I'm sure there was a time, but I don't remember it. And that's bad because I have a pretty good memory in life in general. My mother always tells me, oh God, you got such a memory. How do you remember all this stuff? That's what she would tell me a lot. And it's just simple. I just remember stuff, but I don't ever remember being under 200 pounds. So I want to go back to those days and remember what that's like because I want to turn life around. You know, like I said, it's not about starting over completely, but it's about being in your car. You ever miss your turn and you say, holy crap, I gotta turn around and go back the other way so I can go the right way. That's more of what it's like. It's more of, I got to turn the car around and go back so I can get to the right direction. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are, you know, maybe they're afraid or they just don't think it's obtainable. It is. I'll share a quick story with you and then I'll probably get out of here soon. But at my job, my boss has put up shirts on my wall in my office. I started at a 5XL t-shirt. Think about a 5XL. There's probably a lot of you listening out there that are in good shape that could probably swim in a 5XL. Not really swim, like you wouldn't go in a pool and swim, but you could put on a 5XL and it's huge on you. Like bigger than a winter coat. Not as thick, but huge. Okay. And so as I would get lower in weight, she would, you know, we would just randomly say, okay, let's try on this next shirt. So a 4XL. I would always put on the shirt before I was ready just to kind of see how bad it was. And then a couple of weeks, a month or whatever goes by, I put on the 4XL and it fits like a glove. It's so smooth. Love it. Because a lot of times I look at pictures, and I've been taking pictures. I take topless pictures on the internet. It's a crazy thing. I was telling my boss last week. I'm like, I take topless pictures on the internet. It's kind of funny. And you look at kind of these differences, and you can see maybe subtle things, but it's not like, wow, like those really crazy before and after pictures that you see online. I haven't got to that point yet. But it's like you take the picture and you don't see a big difference, but you put on the shirt and you feel a huge difference. Put on the 3X after another month or two. It fits like a glove. And I'm like, holy crap. And then I started setting goals. Like, I think it was sometime in April. I'm like, I want to fit in a 2XL. By the time Metallica comes here, and they were here earlier this month in Baltimore. I'm for those of you guys that don't know me, I'm from Virginia near the DC area, but Baltimore is like that's a quick drive. So I'm like, before their show, I want to fit into a 2XL. So we put a 2XL up on the wall. And now this particular one did not fit me correctly before the show because there is some of that. There are some clothes that feel and fit differently because I found an old Metallica shirt in my closet that was a 2XL that is, God, like 15, 16 years old. And I put it on and it fits like a glove. And this is a 2XL. And I'm like ready to cry because at this point, I'm just like, I cannot believe that there was a time where I could barely fit into like my 5XLs at one point were starting to get, you know, uncomfortable, which is sad to say. And I put on this shirt and I cannot believe that it actually fits. And again, I know I said I was getting out of here soon and I'm rambling. Again, this is why I'm good for a podcast, because if you like to listen to somebody talk, I can go on and on and on. But I couldn't believe that I got into this 2X so easily. And then so today, to bring it back around, the whole point of the story, so today I go and put on the 2X shirt that was kind of fit, kind of didn't. I put it on today and I show my boss and I'm like, holy crap, this thing fits. It fits really good. So I recently got an extra large shirt. It was actually a Bruce Pritchard Something to Wrestle shirt that I said, I want to fit into this extra large by August because they have the show in New York, and I'll just wear my old 5X to the Baltimore show because it's all good. But I'm like, I want to fit into this XL shirt by August. So I put it on. Again, like I said, I put it on first to kind of see where I'm at. And then you go from there. So I put the shirt on. And it actually fits, but it's kind of busty. It's kind of weird to say as a guy, my shirt was busty. My gut was busting out of it. But it's like, as far as lengthwise, it actually kind of worked. So I'm like, you know, by August, if I just keep up what I'm doing, I should be able to, you know, get it no problem. So we'll talk more and more about the fitness as the week comes on. I don't want to blow the whole thing in one show, but we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. Also, I'm going to see a concert on Friday, Granger Smith, country artist, and I'll be meeting him. So I'll be telling you guys all about that on next week's show. I'm interested to see what his live show is all about. I've only ever seen him acoustically, so I'm very, very excited to see him live. And then Something to Wrestle in Baltimore, Bruce Pritchard and Conrad, I'll be able to see these guys again, first time since Orlando, and I'm really looking forward to it. So and Extreme Rules is also the same night. So we're going to talk about all that stuff on the show next week. But again, I want to thank you guys so much for tuning into the first episode. And I know it kind of sounds like maybe I'm all over the place, but we're gonna figure out this whole thing as we go. Honestly, I think that's the best way to do it. You got to jump in the lake, jump in the pool, jump in whatever analogy you want to use, without the paddles, without the life vest, and see if you can swim. And that's what we're doing here. And so again, version 2.0, that was kind of the theme for my return, and kind of like my theme in life right now. It's like, you know, it's not a starting all over again, but it's just changing perspective, changing direction, turning that car around. And so for the people out there listening, you know, you feel like in life, you know, if things are getting tough and you don't know how it's going to work out, I would just say, just turn the car around, man. Figure out what works for you. Don't sweat the stuff that you cannot control. Take care of the things that you can handle and figure out the best way to do that. But don't let the small stuff overtake you. Just figure out the best way to handle the things that are in your control and keep doing you. Believe in yourself. That is the most important thing, because for the longest time I lived under the assumption of not believing in myself. And I think it's hindered me for so long. You know, I would think about my older podcast, The Shoot and Wrestling Informant, and you know, these, I can't turn them into anything. I can't make anything out of it because I didn't believe in myself. People tell me all the time, Gary, you do good in the podcast. You're made for radio and podcasting and all this stuff. And, or, you know, Gary, you have such good ideas, you know, man, you've got a lot of potential. And I sat there to myself and, you know, thinking, I'm like, well, apparently I don't, because there's not much I can do here. I'm not delivering. So that changes. Start believing in yourself. Because that's what I've started to do now. I believe that, in fact, I can do it. And that is what it's all about. This is the Gary Cantrell Podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the first episode. I want to hear from you guys. Gary's Podcast at gmail.com, at Gary's Podcast on Facebook and Twitter. and garyspodcast.com. Thank you guys so much. Let me know what you think. Tune in for next week's show as well. Give the show a chance, honestly. And if you don't like it, so be it. But either way, just have to thank everybody for listening. I really appreciate it. I'll talk to you guys next week.